BGMC. The biblical truth lives here.
We are living in a time like no other in history. But fortunately for us, God wrote it down, all in His prophecies, what would happen next. Find out what prophecies came true this week, ripped straight from the headlines. Verily I say unto you, the only way to rightly understand prophecy is from a messianic Hebrew roots perspective. For without the roots, the tree is dead. Stay tuned for the Prophecy News headline show, The Remnant's Call.
Welcome to The Remnant's Call, The Sledgehammer Show, where prophecy, politics, the religion, the straight truth come through to your device that you're watching us on or listening to us on. Tonight's Sledgehammer Show is Sledgehammer Show number 419, and it's entitled, We Need to Go to the Root. What we're going to be looking at tonight is going to the root cause of these major problems that we're going to be talking about tonight in homosexuality and abortion. Okay, we're going to be talking about that scripturally, as most people don't. Well, let me introduce myself to everybody. I'm Rav Hanun Ben Moshe from Beth Goyim Messianic Congregation, a place where Jew and Gentile worship Yeshua the Messiah as one people. And yes, Messiah is a Jew. So if you hate the Jews or you curse the Jews, you get a promise from the Father in heaven, Jehovah. He will bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse him. So come out to Beth Goyim to be part of God's people, black and white, male and female, tall and short, fat and skinny, rich and poor. We all come together to worship Messiah Yeshua together. So come out to 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. That's 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina, where you can be with us and be with our company, where we worship, we do the news, we do an inspired word from the Lord. Okay, moving on to the next part here. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email us at info@thesledgehammershow.com. That's info@thesledgehammershow.com. We put our show on many different websites and many different social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Gab, Rumble, and the TorahNetwork.com, Twitter, Vimeo, YouTube, BitChute, Brighteon, Rumble. We put it out there for as many places as possible. And if you'd like to support the Sledgehammer Show, you can send a check or money order to Beth Goyim. That's 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. That's Beth Goyim, 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. All right. And I'm joined on the show once again by my good hairy friend, none other than Ben Jimenez the Third. Ben Jimenez the Third. All right, as we always start out our show with, we start out with the Bible, and we're going to start out in Revelation, the last book of our Bible, in Revelation 22, verse 11 and 12. Whoever keeps acting wickedly, let him go on acting wickedly. Whoever is filthy, let him go on being made filthy. Also, whoever is righteous, let him go on being made holy. Pay attention, says Yeshua. I am coming soon, and my rewards are with me to give to each person according to what he has done. Okay, so what we're focusing on, and also subscribe to our pages, whether you're on Rumble, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you're watching us on, subscribe to our page. Okay, so what we're looking at here is, there is a time where God says, I've had enough of you, and I'm not going to try to change you anymore, with his love and his his ways. He just says, let the wicked go on acting wickedly. Don't even try to save them. Don't even try to witness to them. Just go on, you know, let them act wickedly. And we are in that time period where people are, they're at the end. You know, they're really, we've come to the part here where it's going to get really disgusting out there. It's already disgusting. And we're going to be talking about, you know, child trafficking tonight. We're going to be talking about these men, you know, acting like freaks, these homos, these groomers. But what is the root cause? Okay, what is the root cause? Because that's what we're looking at, the root cause. Okay, so Yeshua says, you know, let them keep acting wickedly. Let them, you know, do what they're going to do, and don't even try to change them. Okay, so it's something that we need to really get to, that there is a time where Messiah says, just let it be. Okay, let it be, let it be, okay. Let it be three. Let it be three. You know, Ben, you know, this is a powerful part of the Bible where Messiah says, you know, just let them be. And sometimes you have to let that happen. But it's sad that it does, that he said this. I mean, he said it 2,000 years ago, and we are living in that time today. What do you think about this, you know, this time when Yeshua says, you know, in verse 11, whoever keeps acting wickedly, let him go on acting wickedly. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, that verse right there reminds me of those and many parents who have rebellious children, or children that just don't listen, would understand what I'm about to say. A lot of times you have to let your children be so they can crash into the wall. Not the physical wall, but the proverbial wall. So that they can realize what it is that they're doing wrong. When Yeshua said here, whoever keeps acting wickedly, let him go on acting wickedly. And whoever is filthy, let him go on being made filthy. That means that no matter what it is that you're trying to do to correct that person's actions, if the person doesn't want to change, if the person is not repentant, there's no amount of effort that you could put in to changing that person or helping that person correct himself. It's the same thing with the drug addict. The drug addict will not stop using drugs until he decisively says, I don't want to do this anymore. Same thing with a sinner. When Yeshua told the lady found in adultery, you know, where are those who accuse you? She said, they're not here. Said, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. It's always been an issue of the heart. What people don't understand is that nothing that's happening now is brand new. Shlomo said it, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. What does that mean? That means exactly what it says. Whatever we're experiencing now, though it may be with modern gadgets, it was already done back in those days. Now, how can I say that? We look at the construction that took place in that era. For instance, the pyramids were cut with such precise measurements. I mean, we're talking about rocks that were cut with linear perfection. Can't do that without lasers. You can't do that without cutting equipment. Nothing is new. Everything that's going on now went on then will go on it again in the future. And just like the saying goes, if you don't study history, you are doomed to repeat it.
Yeah, it's very true that if you don't study history, you are doomed to repeat it. And that's, you know, that's why we study the Bible, because that's the Word of God. And we need to look at this to fully understand what's going on. But it's a sad statement, you know, where Yeshua says, you know, let them go on being made filthy. Okay, so you know, we always look at adding to this, because to each of our shows has a topic that it goes after. And we confirm what Yeshua said in Revelation 22 with Isaiah 3:9. Their very look witnesses against him. They parade their sin like Saddam. They don't even try to hide it. All the worse for them, they bring evil on themselves. So what we're going to be talking about in these two subjects, and you know, and we add minor subjects to that, is the sin. But what is the impetus behind the sin? Okay, they parade their sin like Saddam. You know, they didn't care. And if you read Genesis Bereshit 19, you know, they didn't care. They wanted to rape the two men, what they thought were men. Okay, and they didn't care what anybody thought. The whole city, both young and old men, came. Okay, but how does it arrive like to that point? That's what we're going to be looking at in this show tonight. How does it arrive at that point where it says their very look witnesses against them? They parade their sin like Saddam. Now, parades are, you know, open things, you know, where you're just walking down the street, you know, everybody's watching you, and you're, you know, there's nothing hiding you. So this sin that the people are doing is, you know, like in a parade, everybody's agreeing with the parade. Everybody's at the parade. Nobody's stopping the parade. They're all cheering the parade. And that's where we've come to in our culture, okay? And we also have Proverbs 5, verse 22 and 23. 22 and 23. A wicked person's own crimes will trap him. He will be held fast by the ropes of his sin. He will die from lack of discipline. The magnitude of his folly will make him totter and fall. Okay, so what we're looking at here is this lacking of discipline? Is the crimes of the people, they're not looking past tomorrow. They're not looking to eternity because they don't believe in eternity. They don't believe in heaven and hell. Well, when you're looking up to heaven from hell and you're in your own private cell and your body's burning 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, there's no water. It's just this horrendous place that Yeshua describes in the Gospel of Luke. It's your own crimes, okay? You can't blame other people for what you're doing, okay? Everybody has to take responsibility for themselves. That's what people don't really want to do. It's they're all about them, their self-gratification. They're all about self-indulgence, okay? So we look at that scripture again. A wicked person's own crimes will trap him. He will be held fast by the ropes of his sin. He will die from lack of discipline. The magnitude of his folly will make him totter and fall. So tottering and falling is like a gigantic tower tipping over because it, you know, it's too large. And the sin that the people have are just amazing. Okay, so one other part here. Now, This is a telling tale of what really is the problem. Now, this is from the Barna group, and they're excellent with their polls because they really do get, they ask good questions, and they really do get a good cross-section of what they're trying to find out. New poll claims that the vast majority of Americans, 96%, do not hold a biblical worldview following COVID-19 lockdowns. Calling it a significant change in American worldview, the Cultural Research Center of Arizona Christian University, led by researcher George Barna, found in its survey that the lockdowns impacted the already dwindling number of people who claim to hold a world view. Let me just move on to the next part of the slide. Look at this. In what Barna called the first national study of its kind, the incidence of biblical worldview declined to a mere 4%, down one-third from the 6% recorded just months before the pandemic lockdown started in March of 2020. This is an astounding number that only 4%, Ben, only 4% of Americans have a biblical worldview. This number is astounding. It's sad. It's scary for what's coming because, you know, Jehovah puts it in his word, what's going to happen next. And we need to be ready for it. But what we're going to talk about in these, you know, drag queen story times, drag queen strip shows, the abortion, whether you can have an abortion in that state or not have an abortion in that state, we're going to look at the root cause. And this, my friends who are watching or listening to the Sledgehammer Show, this is the key. This is the key. We're down to 4%. 96% of Americans, Ben, don't have a biblical worldview. So what Isaiah said in Isaiah 5, verse 20, every man will do what's right in his own eyes. What do you think about this, Ben? I mean, this is astounding, this number.
It was surprising to me. I mean, considering how many people profess to be believers or Christians, the fact that only 4% believe in a biblical worldview is astounding. But nonetheless, it shouldn't be surprising because we have, you know, the prophet Isaiah, who had stated that in the last days, good will be called evil and evil will be called good. You know, and we know for a fact that in the last days, only a remnant will be saved. You know, I mean, we're right now in an existence of close to 8 billion people on the face of the earth. And a remnant of that, my friends, is not a billion people. You know, it's not even, you know, 500 million people. You know, a remnant of that is just a little handful of that, if that many people could fit in the palm of God's hand. So we also read in the New Testament where Messiah said that there would be a falling away, that people would be lovers of themselves, you know, instead of lovers of God. And, you know, like I've always stated that when this pandemic first started, when this plandemic started, that it was to usher in and introduce the New World Order. because there's no other way that they would be able to do it unless they take complete control of the world overnight. And at, before the pandemic, there was too much, I would dare say there was too much entertainment for anybody to really see what was going on. You know, you have the not woke few, but those who were awake and saw this coming. There's a difference between woke and being awake. You know, woke is an agenda, awake is a state of being. But the fact that these numbers are out there, and you know, frankly, numbers can be manipulated, but from what we're seeing now, it doesn't seem like these numbers are lying. So that just means, my friends, that we as believers in the righteousness of God and in his righteous ways have that much more work to do, because you know the harvest is about to be, you know, ready for picking, for reaping. And if we don't do our work, like, you know, Ezekiel says, the blood of these people could be, you know, on our heads, on our hands. You know, so what we have to do is we have to get down and dirty and spread the truth of our God and his gospel and of his son, our Messiah.
Yeah, we really do have to get down to doing our job. But I mean, you know, as Yeshua said, the field is white for harvest. I mean, is it anymore? It's kind of, you know, hard to say, because if there's only 4% of people believing in a worldview, I mean, yeah, there's 96% of people that don't. How many of those are actually seeking the Lord? So let's get down to some of the news stories, and then let's get down to what we're going to be talking about is the reason, the impetus, that, you know, look at this. Pastor shoved outdoor, knocked on his back after protesting library drag queen event for children, gets charged for hate crime. Cell phone video caught the moment a Canadian pastor was shoved out the door and knocked flat on his back after protesting a library's drag queen event last weekend, for which children were in attendance. And now police in Calgary, Alberta, have charged the pastor with a hate crime. According to The Blaze, officers said they resisted protesters during the Seton Library's reading with event at 11:15 a.m. Saturday, Calgary News reported. So they were having the drag queen story time during Shabbat. Now, let's look at this in a couple of directions. Okay. Where should the pastor have been on Saturday at 11? He should have been in his congregational building or his church celebrating the Shabbat. He should have been with his people celebrating the Shabbat. Okay, now let's go to the second story. How low will we go? Burlesque for babies draws outrage, proving there is no bottom to depravity, for it was drag queen story hours. Now it's cross-dressing burlesque for babies in the United Kingdom. But a conservative backlash is growing on both sides of the Atlantic. In the last week, videos surfaced supposedly family-friendly British drag queen burlesque rave events for babies and their parents, showing nearly naked men gyrating and twerking in front of babies held by their mothers and fathers. Cross-dressing men taking cash tips from babies. Tiny hands of half-naked men in sadomasochistic bondage outfits, doing a gymnastic type act in front of babies, and men and women stripping in front of children, with one showering a dancer with breasts exposed holding up a baby. The video shocked the Western world, which are too graphic to embed in this article. Now, let's go here to something. It said, burlesque for baby draws outrage. Okay. It's family friendly drag queen burlesque rave event for babies. Twerking in front of the baby's mothers and fathers. Let that sink in for a minute, everybody. Twerking in front of mothers and fathers. Not in front of... Now, they weren't in school. They weren't in school where the teachers brought them to this place. What we see here, both in the U.S. and in England, in the United Kingdom, is the parents, the mothers and fathers, brought their children to this event. See, when we're down to 4% of people that have a biblical worldview, 96% of people believe that this is okay. 96% of people believe that this is okay. So they're not going to try to stop it. What we have here is a supply and demand. If people aren't buying it, then the company's going to go out of business. If people are, we've talked about sex trafficking, children being sold into slavery. Yeah. But if nobody was buying the children, then those people wouldn't risk the chance of being caught. But when the money is so lucrative, when we got the drag queen story hour, if nobody was going, if everybody was following the scriptures and they knew that this was wrong, not just, we have people that don't follow the law and they say, well, that's wrong while you're eating your ham sandwich. You can't say that's wrong while getting ready for Ishtar, Easter, that we don't find in the Bible. Because what you think is wrong by your own secular standards, not biblical standards. You can say you're a Christian and you have your own standards. Well, you don't have God's standards, because God's standards are the Torah, the 613 laws. So we have this burlesque for babies. Oh, that's disgusting. That's disgusting. They didn't abduct the children to do this. Their parents brought them there. Ben, this is insane. But I'm not going to blame the faggot. Because if nobody was coming, the faggot wouldn't be there. He wouldn't be getting all dressed up in his outfit and all this other stuff. So what do you think about this, Ben? This, little children stuffing money into their G-strings of these men. But the kid didn't drive himself there. The parents took their child to go see this. What do you think about that, Ben?
Well, I admire King Shlomo for his wisdom, because he stated in Proverbs to raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, from those ways he shall not depart. This is another, what I see is another way to infect the future generation. And this is a way for the enemy to try to ensure that the 144,000 are defiled. But the thing that he doesn't realize, or I guess he does, but he doesn't want to accept the fact that when the word of our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Kingly Father, said that they're going to be 12,000 from each of the tribes, that's exactly what's going to happen, regardless of all this going on. There are going to be 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel who were never defiled by women. But this, you know, children, we always say that children don't know, you know, good or bad. And I kind of doubt that for a simple reason, that a lot of children act on evil inclinations when dealing with each other. They're apt to stealing, to cheating, to lying when they're amongst each other and they see something that they want, you know. But it's our jobs as parents to instruct those children on how to walk on the straight and narrow. Now these parents here, you know, when we go to the very beginning of the program, we see that Yeshua says, those who are doing evil, let them keep doing evil, or let them keep doing wickedly, because they will get their reward at the very end. You know, he says, pay attention. I am coming soon, says Yeshua, and my rewards are with me to give to each person according to what he has done. So if these parents are leading their children down the path of hell, woe to them. Woe to them, because they are going to get exactly what they deserve. You know, it's our responsibility as parents to train these children, to groom these children, and to raise them in how God tells us to. Many of us have failed to do that, you know, and we've somehow, when we've come to the knowledge of the truth, have attempted to re-instruct our children. Nonetheless, I believe that effort won't go unnoticed, but we will pay for the errors that we've committed in the past, you know, because, you know, nobody escapes death. And nobody is going to escape judgment.
Yeah, well, it's what we're pointing out tonight in this show is, you know, we got churches and, you know, synagogues getting mad with the people, and, you know, but it's partly the fault of the church. But Jehovah said in the second commandment, I'll put your sins on your children. Okay, and it's something that, you know, the parents are openly going and doing this. So I'm not going to get mad at the freak, really. The freak is just the freak, but the freak would be alone. The faggot would be alone if you just left him alone. If you didn't, you know, get into his mental delusion, okay? It's something that you need to think about, okay? You know, this burlesque for babies, you know, it's sad, but what it is it's the parents' fault. You know, people are just putting up their stuff, okay? And tiny hands of a half-naked man is, you know, in his leather, you know, sadomasochistic outfit, you know, that's something for all of us to think about, that these people would not have a job if you weren't going there. Okay? Prostitutes would not have a job if people weren't going to the prostitutes. Child trafficking would not be an issue if nobody was supporting it. Okay? Yes, we're supposed to, you know, help the children, and we're supposed to care for the children, we're supposed to try to stop it, but we need to fix the problem. Okay? We need to fix what these people are, but we need to fix the homes. We need to fix the families. Okay? That's our problem, is we're not fixing the families. We're looking to everybody else to fix our family. Where are the men? Where are the women? You know, where are the men being real men? You know, staying married, raising children, working hard, taking care of your family. Okay? We don't have men that want to do that any longer. Okay? Now, drag queen forces child to leave class for denying, look at this, 73 genders, school teachers, anal sex to 11-year-olds. The Isle of Man government has suspended sex education at schools after drag queen allegedly forced a student to leave class for refuting the concept of 73 genders. Okay, all right, now this is, you know, they did stop the sex classes, but what did it take for this to happen? Why, you know, the teachers were allowing this. They're part of this whole grooming thing, but what's going on in their minds? Now, people say there's always been homosexuality. And the Bible proves that because we have Romans chapter 1 and we got Leviticus 18, Biacre 18. There has always been this, but it's been in the background. It's been hidden. You know, we've always had Satan worshipers, but they haven't been open. But now we have this openness because people want it. People want to go there. People want to see this. People want to bring their kids to drag queen story time. Nobody is abducting the children to do that. So let's go on to the next part. All right, let's move on to the next topic. Tennessee protects children with new law. The surfacing of the UK drag queen engaged in sexual stage acts in front of babies and very young children comes after the Tennessee legislature passes Bill SB3, banning such performances in front of kids throughout the state. The bill was signed into law on Thursday by the state's governor, okay? But once again, I want to bring it back to the root cause. What is the root cause? That's what the topic of this show is. The root cause is when you remove the Bible, you leave a hole. And we are made to worship something. God made us, Jehovah made us in His image, and He made us to be worshipers. We will worship something. Either we'll worship God or we'll worship something else. So they're worshiping their own sexuality. So now we have to have these bills by governments, and I really don't want the bills. You know, they're making misdemeanors. They're making you know, laws that if you do this and you're found, okay, you know, Anyone who is either hosts or performs a drag show in presence of children would be charged with misdemeanor and subject to fine of $2,500. But we read in those other articles, Ben, that it was the parents who were bringing the children to the show. So this is a good law. I'm not saying it's a bad law, but you're not getting to the root cause of this. We saw in those other articles that the parents were bringing the kids to drag queen story time. It's not happening. It's happening in some schools, and that's a problem, because then we need to tear down the schools. We need to not bring our kids to schools. You need to homeschool your children, because God says in Deuteronomy 6 to homeschool your children. Well, I can't do that. We need both incomes. I agree that times are very tough. But the reason times are tough is because only 4% of Americans have a biblical worldview. So now we come back to this subject of this first subject of our show. Yes, it's good that they're making it, they're fining people, but are you going to fine all the parents? Ben, what do you think, Ben? Should we fine all the parents, or, you know, is there anything we can do? What do you think?
Definitely there's something that we can do. There's always something that we can do. The question is, are we willing to do what's needed to be done? Many people live their lives talking about, they don't agree with this, they don't agree with that, but yet, when it comes down to make a decision, they leave the decision making to those who they've given power to. You know, the Constitution reads that this is a government made by the people for the people. You know, and that's something that the people have forgotten, you know, because lately the government is a government, you know, to rule the people and not to govern the people. Ruling and governing has two similar meanings, but they're very different. The fact that should we fine the parents, you know, in certain terms, what they're doing would be considered child abuse. And in many states, parents who subject their children to child abuse have their children taken from them. Should they fine them? Yeah, I believe that they should fine them. And I also believe that they should take them and re-educate these parents on how to raise their children and only get their children back after they are qualified to raise their children without hurting them.
Wait, you want the government to determine?
No. Remember what I said at the beginning of this. This is a government by the people for the people. The people have to step up, okay? The people are the ones who have to step up and step, put their feet forward and plant them, you know, firmly on the ground. Laws are made up after the fact of something that happens that shouldn't have happened, okay? And laws, you know, people speak against the laws of God, you know, but they're ready and willing to obey the laws of the land, which are far more and far greater than what God has given us. But if these people would follow the instructions of God, because that's what they are, you know, law is a very poor translation to the instructions that, you know, our Father had given us on Mount Sinai, we wouldn't be in this predicament. You know, yeah, things wouldn't be perfect, but they wouldn't be so screwed up either. You know, there would be morals. There would be, you know, righteous living. We wouldn't be living this way, you know, the way that Franklin D. Roosevelt wanted us to live, you know, because he said, I don't want a nation of thinkers, I want a nation of workers. So he somehow enslaved humanity into working for a living instead of living off their work. You know, back in the days of Yeshua, people owned property. People worked, but people owned property. People lived off the land. And the government never stepped in to control how they grew their food.
Well, once the people moved out of the country into the cities, you moved away from your local church, your local congregation, and that's what happened. Okay, so right. let's get to the second subject, because we're running out of time today. Our second subject is about abortion. Now, there's been a big problem with abortion, and in 2019, the CDC said that there were 629,898 abortions. Now, it is good that there are states stopping abortion. But once again, this show is about, this particular show is about the root cause. So there you see, tracking sites where abortion is now banned. Should we buy an abortion? Yeah, I guess. But what's the root cause of the abortion? I don't know too many married couples, you know, except my mother back in the early 1900s there, that wanted to rid the world before she had me. My mother was a very selfish woman. She had her two daughters, and she didn't want to have a third child. There aren't too many people nowadays, married couples, especially those that fear God, that want to get abortions. And what we see in these abortions is it's not married people that fill these numbers. Let me bring up that number again. 629,898. It's unmarried people. It's youth, you know, who are having sex. It's people that want to get married. I mean, this all began really heavily in the 70s, took off in the 80s, and was, you know, screaming high in the 90s. And now we're dealing with all these abortions. So, yeah, we should get rid of the abortion clinics, but you wouldn't need the abortion clinics. Let me say that again. You wouldn't need the abortion clinics if people feared God, if they weren't fornicating, if abstinence was taught, that your body is a temple. All these things that, remember, we're down to 4% of Americans believe in the Bible. So every person, man, woman, children, they're gonna do this nasty stuff. Okay? Marriage is, you know, sex is good inside a marriage, says Rav Shaul Paul. Okay? Now look at this astounding numbers. How common are abortions? Abortions are very common. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists reports that 25% of all women will have an abortion before they turn 45 years old. Because that number is going to significantly drop, because women, after they hit their 40s, begin to go through menopause, and many can't have children. 25% of women. Though 40.2% of those who had an abortion in 2019 had not previously birthed a child. Nearly 60% of all people who had gotten an abortion in that year previously had at least one live birth. So they got one child that's alive. Sorry, I didn't have that up on the screen for you. I'll put that back up on the screen so everybody can see what I was reading. Okay. This is an astounding number, Ben, that 25% of all women will have an abortion before they turn 45. Now, what this comes to, is the removal of God in our society. I don't really blame the abortion clinics, because if nobody was going to them, if nobody was patronizing them, if nobody was fornicating, okay, yes, we have a very minute group that gets sexually molested and raped. That is a very minuscule percentage of this 25%, this 600,000, almost 700,000 abortions in 2019. The root cause is they're fornicating. We're inundated with sex all around us. We're told by our school system, for if parents are bringing their children to drag queen story time, burlesque for babies, Ben, what's your add some insight to this? I mean, this is it, the root cause is you don't fear God.
Yeah, there is no fear of God, because you know that's a pretty large number, considering that there's about 10 women for every male alive, and that's only because statistically, those people who don't know, statistically it's more males that get aborted than females. I don't know how that happens, but I read an article a number of years ago that the majority of males are the ones who get aborted, and not so many females. And that's really sad, because you know it's been a plan for so long, you know, to disseminate and to dwindle the numbers of the population, you know. If, like I said earlier, if we were to follow the instructions of God, which are known to man as, you know, the 613 laws, we really wouldn't be there. We'd be going through this. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. People think that abortions are something new. Abortions go way, way back, you know, to paganistic fertilization rituals. You know, the murder of babies is seen throughout the Bible and throughout history, you know, because they figured that if they give up their children to these idols, that they would be more fertile and be able to have more children later on. And that's just a demonic possession of the people. And that can only be blamed on kicking God out of our society, of our homes, and of our schools. Not leading a righteous life, or at least, at minimum, attempting to live a righteous life. You know, we get attacked if we mention God, or we bow our heads down to pray in public. We get criticized. We get arrested. You know, and we get labeled as hate speakers, you know. And my answer to that has always been, if you don't like what you see, turn the other way. You know, there's the streets are two ways. They come and they go. You don't like what I'm doing when you're walking up to me, turn the other way across the street, you know. But we have failed. We have failed our fellow man, but more so we have failed our God, our Creator, because we allow this to happen. You know, there was a video of he's an OBGYN. He worked in an abortion clinic, and some guy was talking to him on the street, preaching the word of God to him. And this doctor came up to him, demon possessed, and he kept saying, "I'd like to kill children. I'd like to kill children. That's what I like to do. That's why I do it." You know, and to see that level of demonic possession rise up to the surface is nothing more and nothing less than our allowing God to be taken out. You know, there's strength in numbers, but you know, these people seem to show that they're greater in number, and they put fear in everybody's heart. But this isn't for the fearful, and this isn't for those who don't have courage, because the battle is messy, the fight is dirty. But those of us who fall on our knees and put our faces to the ground in front of our King and pray are the ones who are going to be able to stand against these wiles of the enemy. Those of us who learn how to wear and wield the righteous armor of God are the ones who are going to prevail in the name of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach.
Yeah, it's very important to understand that. So let's bring up one other part here before we close the show. You know, Illinois governor signed sweeping abortion protection. Governor Greg Abbott of Texas signs, you know, strictest abortion. And DeSantis in Florida signs abortion ban. Now, this is good. I'm not saying it's bad. But once again, we need to go to the root cause. The root cause of why the governor of Illinois, why the governor of Texas, why the governor of Florida, they shouldn't have to sign these laws. People should police themselves. The Constitution is only for a moral and religious people. We talk about in each Sledgehammer Show that hell is coming. Now the body needs to stand up. But the body can't stand up unless they start following God in spirit and in truth. And that means keeping his commandments, because as I said earlier, and I say this to my Messianic brethren who don't keep the law. You know, you can type Messianic Shabbat service and you'll see lots of the rabbis don't have big beards like mine. Okay? God says don't mar the edges of your beard. Okay, they don't wear tzitzit. They put on a kippah or yarmulke for Shabbat service, but they don't wear it all the time. They don't wear tzitzit. And then you got the Christians on the other side. Messiah wouldn't even recognize them if we came back, because they have nothing in common with the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua. They don't keep kosher. They don't keep the holy days. So this is the fruit of everything that America's been doing. We're down to 4%. Do you not think destruction is coming? If God doesn't destroy us, then he'd have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah for destroying them. He'd have to apologize to everybody in the flood that drowned because of they had evil continuously in their heart. I don't really say that the drag queen is bad. If he was sitting in that library all alone, he wouldn't be there. Because he's only doing it to get recognition. He's only doing dressing up like a freak so that people look at him. If nobody's coming to the drag queen story time, then he wouldn't be there. If nobody's going to the burlesque baby show with men stripping in front of the babies, then they wouldn't be there, because nobody would be there to put money in their G-string. So the problem is not our government. The government is only an outward symptom of what the sickness that we have. That's what our real problem is. We have a cancer in our society. And the cancer is that we don't want to follow God. Well, you've been listening to The Remnants Call, the Sledgehammer Show for Ben Jimenez. I'm Rav Hanan Ben Moshe from Beth Koyin. Come out and learn the word so you can withstand the devil. Until next week, Shalom Aleichem.
Shalom. This is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman. I would personally like to thank you for tuning in to The Remnants Call each and every week. You can listen to the full message on our website, bethgoyim.org. If you have drawn closer to the King of Kings, learned more about Him today, we are blessed. If you are blessed by these messages, please consider a donation to our ministry. You can go to our website, bethgoyim.org. That's BETHGOYIM.org. And click on the donate button. You do not have to have a PayPal account to donate. All you need is a debit card. Once again, thank you very much for listening to The Remnants Call.
If you have not taken your first steps to be born again, just ask God's help. Remember, it's His loving grace that has come to find you. No one is worthy or able to reach God, but God can reach us, and He's reaching out to you now. Just open your heart and let Him in. His arms are open, and the blessing of salvation and eternal life are waiting for you. Don't let it wait any longer.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift His face and shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and give you His shalom.
Shalom. My name is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman, and I invite you to come to visit our congregation. If you are in the tri-state area, come out and visit with us on Shabbat. We are a congregation of Jews and Gentiles living as one in the Messiah Yeshua. BGMC is a place of true worship. The focus never wanders from the Hebraic roots of our faith. Beth Goyim is rooted in the Word of God from Bereshit through to the Book of Revelation. Messiah's strong words against man-made tradition are carefully recorded in Matthew 7. That is the reason we only follow the straight-up instructions found in Scripture, truly the way, the truth, and the life. If you're looking for a deeper walk with Adonai, come out for our Tuesday evening Bible study called Messianic Torah Time. Come, spend a day with us on any Shabbat. We start at 11 a.m. with the sound of the ancient Hebrew shofar. Next, we offer our King praise and worship in English, Hebrew, and Spanish. After worship, we review the headlines in the previous week's news from around the globe, especially news from the Holy Land Israel. We don't just list the news headlines as current events, but we comb through the scriptures, searching for clues to understand what they mean, and then to help pinpoint prophetically our current position on Adonai's clock. After digesting all that modern information, we leave the world behind as we journey with our Adonai deep into His eternal word, not with just one or two scriptures, but usually seven or more scriptures. The spiritual nourishment and the richness of His kingdom become accessible to the ones who share this special time and seek them out. The day does not end there. Because Shabbat is so special to Him, there is always so much more that our King desires to share. So instead of separating and leaving, we stay together as a family for potluck lunch and an afternoon study of our King's Word. we close this Shabbat together with the reading of the new week's parashah. That's the Torah portion. Even after those blessings, many of us just can't get enough. So the members bring prepared homemade foods to share while we all enjoy an uplifting movie together. If all that information is not quite enough, you can check out our website where you will find over 200 video teachings and biblical holy day studies. Under Messianic Torah Time, the Hebrew Roots button, you'll discover free studies on many, many different topics, including PowerPoint slide presentations. If Beth Goyim sounds like a place you'd love to visit, but you live outside the tri-state area, there is still a way to connect with us. We stream live on the internet on Tuesday, Thursday, and Shabbat. The website is www.bethgoyim.org. That's BETHGOYIM.org. Our phone number is 973-338-7800 or 978-2-YESHUA. That's 978, the number 2, Yeshua. Shalom.